Thanks, John, very much. Let me give you a moment just to find your Bible if you popped it down and reopen that at Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to pray for us again. Father God, as we come to your word now, we thank you that you are a speaking God. And we pray that as you speak, we might listen. We ask, Lord, that our hearts would be good soil, that we would hear your word, that we would accept your word. And that as a result, our lives will be changed. For your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm sure you've all been in conversations before, maybe like the ones we'll have downstairs after, where you're chatting away with someone and they're speaking to you and you are listening, but there's other things going on. Maybe there's a few distractions in your mind, stuff that's coming up this week. Maybe there's a little conversation happening behind you. It feels a little bit more exciting than the conversation you're in. So you've got half an ear here and half an ear to the person you're speaking to. You're not fully engaged with what they're saying. You see, we all know that there's a big difference between listening and really listening. And as we thought about already this morning, it is the same with God. When God is speaking through his word, when the Bible is open, when the Bible is being read, when the Bible is being taught, it's one thing to be there physically present in the room like you are this morning. It is another thing entirely to give your full attention to what God is saying. Hence the call this morning to listen. It's where Jesus begins the parable in verse 3, and it's where he ends the parable in verse 9. He wants our ears to be open. And he wants our minds to be attentive. Whoever has ears to hear, says Jesus, let them hear. Well, as we come to look at the parable now, you'll see how the parable breaks down or divides up there on the screen. In verse 1 and 2, we have the setting for Jesus teaching this parable. In verse 3 to 9, we have the parable itself and the call to listen. In verse 10 through to 13, Jesus explains the purpose of parables, which might come as a bit of a surprise to you this morning. And we'll come back to those verses a little bit later on. And then lastly, in verse 14 through to verse 20, Jesus explains what this parable means for those who really want to know. But before we come to the parable itself, do look at the setting there in verse 1 and 2. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things in parables. Now, if you're familiar with the first few chapters of Mark's gospel, it'll come as no surprise to find Jesus teaching. He's already made it clear that's his priority back in chapter 1. And so as we arrive now in chapter 4, once again, we find Jesus teaching. This time he's down by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds that have gathered are so vast that Jesus jumps into this little boat, pushes it away from shore, and he uses his boat as a floating pulpit as he preaches to the crowds that are lined up along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And there we learn in verse 2, he teaches them many things in parables. And we have four of those parables written down for us in Mark chapter 4 that we're going to be looking at in these coming weeks. And you can see how he begins this first parable, look, in verse 3. Listen, says Jesus, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Now, it's a small verse, but it contains all the main ingredients that we have in this parable. Firstly, we have the seed, which represents the word of God. Jesus makes that clear to us in verse 14. The seed that is being sown is the seed of God's word. Secondly, we have the sower, or the farmer, who represents Jesus himself. He's the one doing the teaching. Jesus is the one here in the opening chapters of Mark's gospel who is sowing the seed of God's word. And as you'll see, he is scattering it wherever he goes. And then thirdly, we have the soil that the seed lands on that represents the human heart. And in this parable, Jesus speaks about four types of ground that represent four different responses of the human heart to the good news of who Jesus is. And so the picture that we need to have in mind as we approach this parable is something like the one there on the screen. No combines, no tractors in those days to scatter the seed en masse. What you have is the farmer, and as he walks his land, so he has this big basket or pouch hanging around his neck, and as he walks, he scatters, digs in a handful of seed, and he throws it. As he walks, he scatters. He doesn't poke little holes in the ground first and plant individual seeds one by one. He hasn't got time for that. As he walks, so he sees the word of God everywhere. And as a result, it falls on all different types of ground because the seed has been scattered everywhere. And Jesus talks about four types of ground or four responses of the heart this morning. Firstly, we have the seed that falls on the path. Have a look, verse 4. As he was scattering the seed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Now, in those days, in that climate, these paths that cut across the fields would have been well-trodden ground. And because of that, they'd have been incredibly hard and compact. And so as the seed is sown, as some seed falls on this path, doesn't sink in at all, just stays on top like concrete, sat on top of the path, until the hungry birds come along and gobble up that seed. And Jesus explains to us, look in verse 15, what he's talking about when it comes to human hearts. Some people like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Because the heart is hard, the word doesn't sink in. And that makes it vulnerable to the work of Satan, who is in the business of snatching away truth from people's hearts. It's happening all the time. Whenever the word of God is preached, sometimes it falls on hearts that are hard to the gospel. Because of that, the seed doesn't sink in, and the seed is snatched away before it can bring forth life. How we need to pray for a softening of the ground, for a softening of people's hearts to the truth of God's word. Secondly, we have the seed that falls on rocky ground. You can see that in verse 5 and 6, and the explanation that follows in verse 16 and 17. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. For those of you who've read Pilgrim's Progress, magnificent read of a guy called Christian on his pilgrimage, on his journey to the heavenly city. And as he makes his way to the heavenly city, he encounters all sorts of different characters, doesn't he, on the way. And one of those guys is a guy called Pliable. And he meets Pliable. And he tells Pliable the gospel. He tells him what it looks like to follow the king. And he paints this picture of the heavenly city. And Pliable gets so excited, his eyes light up, and he receives it with joy. He says, come on, let's go. I'm with you, Christian, all the way. But the first sign of trouble, what does Pliable do? Clues in his name, isn't it? Pliable means changeable. When trouble comes, Pliable changes his mind, and he quickly turns away. And I'm sure we all know people like that, who've shown an interest in Jesus, maybe even made an outward profession of faith, and it all seems so real, and they sign up for everything in church life. They can't get enough of it. But when persecution comes because of the word, they change their mind and quickly fall away. How we need to pray for deep roots of faith when people show that interest in Christ, to pray that God would root them in deep soil that will allow that seed to grow. Thirdly, we have the seed that is sown on the thorny ground, which Jesus explains to us. Look in verse 18 and 19. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Jesus here mentions three things that have the potential to choke the word of God. Firstly, look, the worries of this life. Those things that maybe occupy our minds in an unhelpful way, maybe even now. Those distractions and those worries of stuff that's coming up, maybe even now, they are squeezing in and crowding out what really matters. Secondly, we have the deceitfulness of wealth. As the Lord Jesus says elsewhere, you cannot serve both God and money. Yet so many Christians try to do just that. They'll never admit it, they'll never say they're serving money, but in the end, the fruit or the fruitlessness in their life will show otherwise. Thirdly, we have a desire for other things. And these are the things, as we know all too well, can end up competing with Christ, whether that is money or whether it's education and the desire to really succeed in your education or in your work, or in your career, or in your sport, or whatever else it might be. These good things, don't hear me wrong, these can be good things, but they can end up squeezing out the best thing and trumping the rightful place of the Lord Jesus as King in your heart. I wonder, is that a danger for you this morning? Is there anything in your heart this morning that is crowding out what really matters? Well, if there is, in Hebrews chapter 12, we're told what to do with those things. Look, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all these men and women of faith who've gone before us and finished trusting in Christ, like them, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We're called to throw off not just those things that might be intrinsically bad, sin, as we call it. We're called to throw off everything that hinders. Anything that might get in the way. Anything that might potentially trip you up in your walk with Jesus. Anything that will stop you running well for your Savior. Throw it off. Throw it off by putting the Lord Jesus as the supreme pleasure and the desire of your heart above all those things. And surely that's what Jesus is getting at here, isn't it? Mark chapter 4. Those weeds and those thorns, if they are in your heart, dig them out, whatever they might be, because they have potential to choke what is of ultimate importance. For those of you who've been to our house, you know it's a bit of a project in the garden, out the back, certainly. And the biggest project is getting rid of the bindweed, which, as you'll know, is horrible stuff. And if you walk around our back garden, you'll see the remnants of what used to be, I'm sure, nice, flowering, flourishing plants, and they are no more. They're gone. Because the bindweed has gradually wrapped itself around them and suffocated the life out of these plants. So it can be, says Jesus, in the human heart. And here's the danger. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not like that moment of persecution, pliable, and he turns away. No, it's a slow choking of the seed at the root. And that's what makes this third ground so dangerous. How we need to pray that people's eyes would be open to the competing desires of the heart. And then lastly, don't we have the good soil? The good soil. Verse 20, others like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. You see, I think the most surprising thing in this parable is not the waste, as you might call it, but the fruit. Look at what God does with one heart that will receive the seed of his word. It produces a crop. 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. That's a pretty good yield, isn't it? It's a pretty good yield. Why is the yield so good? Because the seed falls on good soil. A heart that has been prepared by the Spirit of God. A heart that is soft and receptive to the truth. A heart that is free from thorns and from thistles. And it's a heart, look, that does three things, verse 20. It hears God's word. Ears are open. It accepts God's word. It takes it right into the heart. And as a result, it produces a harvest to behold. What we have here, friends, is a picture of the fruitful Christian life, a life that is lived under the loving rule of God that is administered through his word. You see, there's been lots of discussion about the nature of the rocky ground and the field of thorns and thistles, and whether these are really Christians, whether they fall away, or what's this all falling away all about. But actually, I don't think that's the main point of this parable. The main point of the parable, I think, is this. There is only one ground that is truly fruitful, which is the good soil. And that is the sort of heart that Jesus wants from those who follow him. As that children's song goes that we mentioned a few months ago, I want to be the good soil, the stuff that makes great mud pies, the stuff where all the plants grow way up until they're 10 meters high. I want to be the good soil, the kind that's cool and squishy on your toes, not like that hard, dry path. I want to hear God's word and let it grow in rows and rows and rows. I want to be the good soil. I want my heart to welcome in the word of God, whatever the God of heaven has to say to me this morning. I want to take it in. And I want to apply it to my heart in such a way that this heart is changed for all eternity. I want to be the good soil. And I hope you do too. And in a moment, we're going to close really by asking the question, how do we get a good heart? How do we have a heart of good soil? How do we prepare our hearts to truly welcome in the word of God? But before we do, we need to spend just a few moments in verse 10 through to 13, where Jesus explains to us the purpose of parables. And notice these words are spoken after Jesus has told the parable, but before he tells his disciples what it means. You see, he's now back on the shores. All the crowds have dispersed, they've wandered away. It's just Jesus and his 12 and a few others who really want to stay around and find out about who he is. Verse 10, when he was alone, the 12 and the others round him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. You often hear people say, don't you, that Jesus taught parables to make things easy to understand by making real life connections with people. They could understand what he's saying, and that is definitely true. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. In fact, quoting Isaiah, he's saying something very different. You see, at this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus is making a distinction between those who are on the inside and those who are on the outside. Go back and read Mark chapter 3 and highlight all the references to inside and outside. To those on the inside, the truth has been revealed. To those on the outside, it remains a mystery. And in these few verses, it's clear who's in which group. The outsiders are those that were in the crowd, who stood at a distance and they thought that's a nice parable and they walked away unchanged. The insiders are those who stop around. It's those who draw close to the Lord Jesus because they want to know him more. They want him as their king and they want to know what it means to follow him as their king. You see, in many ways, parables act as a bit of a sieve. They filter out those who really want to know from those who are just distant in the crowd. Which leaves me asking a very important question this morning. Are you on the inside? Are you serious about knowing Jesus and knowing him more deeply? Because if you are, the door to God's word will open up to you in the most wonderful way. And so we come back to the question we asked a few moments ago. How do I get a heart of good soil? How do we prepare our hearts to welcome in God's word? Well, very quickly, let me finish with six things to think about. And I'm going to talk about these in relation to when we gather on a Sunday morning, but equally you can apply these to your quiet times and your family devotions whenever the Word of God is open. Number one, pray hard. Before you arrive on a Sunday morning, before you walk through those doors, before you take your seat here, pray hard. Lord God, may my heart be good soil, please, this morning. Speak to me. Number two, read the passage in advance. We're always going to read the Bible up front here on a Sunday morning, but could I encourage you to read the passage we're going to look at in the morning before you get here? So it's more familiar. It's in your head, ready to think about. We do this every Sunday morning. We pray, Lord, help my heart to be good soil. And we read the morning's passage. So we're already thinking about it before it's explained to us when we arrive. Number three, open up your Bible. Please, please have your Bibles open in front of you on a Sunday morning. As we can see in verse 20, it's the Word of God that brings life and transformation. So have a Bible, firstly. And secondly, have it open in front of you. Don't just listen to someone who stood up here speaking. Listen to the Word of God. Check out what they're saying in the Scriptures. People get it wrong sometimes. God doesn't. Open up your Bibles. Number four, take notes. Now, I realize this is more natural for some people than others. And what I'm not saying is that you need to write an essay every Sunday morning. But what I am saying is this. At least, please, at least write down one question. One thing that you're going to go away and think about, that God has started working away in your heart. I don't quite get that. The surprise of parables, the filtering out. I don't quite get it. Write a question down, go away and explore it. Think about it. Or one point of application. God is just laying one thing on my heart this morning. What is that one thing? Write it down. Take it away. Apply it this week. Lord, press that thing into my heart so it's not snatched away, but it impacts every single department of my life. Number five, dig deeper in the days that follow. You see, it's not just about how we prepare our hearts before we come or how we listen when we're here. It's what we do with God's word when we leave here as well. It's really important that the word's not snatched away or crowded out, that we continue to wrestle with the word of God. You see, when someone stands up here on a Sunday morning, they'll do their best to explain the passage faithfully and to apply it to everyone as best they can. But here's the deal. Because of the amount of people in the room and different walks of life, the applications from the front will be general. The preacher can only make general applications to a room this size. To take a metaphor from the world of mining, we're only going to dig down into the first seam here on a Sunday morning. That's how deep we're going. We can't go any further. Your job in the week ahead is to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. Hit seam two, hit seam three, hit seam four. Start mining the real riches of God's word as you take what was said on a Sunday and press it down deeper and deeper into your heart. I take it that's what Jesus means when he says, listen. Really listen. Latch on to every word and then accept it into the very depths of your heart and allow it to impact your lives. And if you do, you will see a bumper crop, not only in your own heart, but you will see the kingdom of God begin to advance into the lives of other people. And number six, pray again. Shouldn't surprise you. We begin with prayer. And we finish with prayer, that God's word wouldn't be snatched away or crowded out by other competing desires in our hearts, but that it would not only land, but grow on good soil in the week ahead. And finally, as we close, I hope you've seen this morning, this parable is not so much about the ability of the sower, but the accessibility of the soil. That said, there is plenty to learn from Jesus about how we go about sharing God's word as well. So two things to leave you with ever so quickly. Like Jesus, sow everywhere. You remember the scattering the seed everywhere. It is not our job to analyze the human heart. So start go poking about and think, oh, they've got a hard heart. I'm not going to tell them about Jesus. Too many thorns and thistles there. That'd be a waste if I speak to them. That's not our job. It is not our job to analyze the human heart. It is our job to scatter the truth of God's word wherever we go. And as we do, we pray that it would be received with hearts that will welcome the word of God. And secondly, we call people to listen. Now, you'll have to work out what that looks like in your own personal evangelism. But notice that Jesus doesn't just talk about the kingdom of God. He doesn't just talk about the gospel. He calls people to listen. He calls people to respond. And he calls people to repent. And so should we. We share the gospel and we call the people of this world to do something with it. Let me give you a moment before we sing in response, and maybe in this next minute, one question to write down. What are you going to go and take away and think about a bit more? And one point of application that God is pressing into your heart this morning that you're going to think about a bit more in the week ahead. Let me give you a minute and then the band will come and lead us in song.
Stand together, please. Stay standing. We've got one more song before we finish. Mm-hmm.
Do take a seat. That does bring us to the end of this morning's service. I hope you've been encouraged by our time together, by the songs that we sung, and by God's word that we've heard this morning. Do continue to talk about these things as you head down for tea and coffee and cake. Let's continue to be about the business of our Lord. But let me read to you as we close those lovely words from verse 20 as we make this our prayer for ourselves and for each other in the week ahead. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Amen. And have a very good day.